Psalm 119 for our study this evening. Amen. I thought I would read the psalm in its entirety, and I'm going to do that sometime in the next couple Wednesday nights, and we'll do a little bit of an unusual study this evening. I think I could read it all in about, in fact, I did the math on it, and it would be about 12.8 minutes. I could do it in less than 13 minutes. I could read all of it. And I don't want to do that this evening. I just want to kind of jump right in the middle of something. And we'll see what the Lord will do for us tonight. So have your Bible open. We're going to look at several verses and statements that are made in Psalm 119 tonight. While you're in Psalm 119, let's start here tonight. Flip over just a few pages to Psalm 138. Psalm 138, this is some of my favorite verses. Brother Mike and I was talking on Sunday, and if you've ever received an email from Brother Mike, he has, I think he said he has these verses, Psalm 138, 1 and 2, are on the signature line or on the bottom of his email, every email he sends out. And that's on purpose because Brother Mike, he loves the Bible. And these verses are some of the greatest verses in the Bible about the Word of God. And it'll make sense here in just a minute. Psalm 138, verse number 1, he said, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship, listen to verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness. And for thy truth, God, you have been loving and kind to me. And I think there's a reflection in that word of God's merciful acts in our life. Lord, I just want to thank you for being so kind and loving and good to me. And Lord, I want to praise you because not only have you been good to me, Lord, you have let me know truth. Your truth has come into my life. Now, notice what he said, how this verse ends. For thou hast magnified thy word, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And so in this verse, the psalmist David here is talking about what God has done in magnifying his word. And the magnifying, God's magnifying of his word, even above his own name, has inspired and sparked a desire to worship and praise the Lord. Because God has done this, and David knows the word of God. He knows truth. He knows that God has given him his holy word. And so we find here God has magnified his word. Now you believe the Bible, don't you? I think David is writing this not just from an emotional, and he's getting emotional about it. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to worship you. And I'll do that even in the presence of the gods and the heathens that worship those gods. I will do it in their midst. And he's getting emotional about thinking about God magnifying his word. But he's not just writing, Brother Mike, from an emotional place. He's writing from an inspirational place. The Spirit of the Lord has led him to pen this down and to write it down. And God has preserved it in his word for us and for this generation to let us know what God thinks of his word. God thinks highly of his word and has magnified it, David said, above all his name. And we're living in a generation that thinks very, very little. There has been a downplay of the Word of God for many, many decades now, we could say. And maybe as far as the world is concerned, has always been. But we're living in times where people don't want the Word of God anymore. Paul said to Timothy concerning the atmosphere and the spirit of the last days, that he was to preach the word. Timothy, your generation needs the word of God. And he said you need to be instant in preaching the word of God. That is, magnifying the word of God. Making the word of God known and big to your generation. You need to be instant in season and out of season. when it's popular and unpopular, when they want it and when they don't want it. Mankind needs the Word of God magnified to them. And then he would go on after those verses to write about in the last days that men was going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, that they are going to downplay the bigness and the magnifying of the Word of God, and that they're going to go after fables. I believe they're going after opinions. They're going after philosophies in this hour. And all of that is set against magnifying the Word of God. And so my point is this tonight. God has magnified His Word. And preachers are to magnify His Word. And God's people ought to want God's Word magnified in their life. Now, God has magnified His Word. But I believe tonight when we come to Psalm 119... there is no greater chapter. Well, we use that term chapter. The Psalms are not technically chapters. They're psalms and songs. But for sake of argument and getting too caught up in the weeds about all that, there's not another portion of Scripture tonight in all the Bible that magnifies God's Word more than Psalm 119. And I'm thankful that it's in the Word of God. This psalm is unique in many aspects and stands, I mean, as a source of encouragement and excitement to the children of God tonight. It's significant. This is easy to understand. It is the longest portion of Scripture in your King James Bible. It has 175 verses are contained in this, 176 verses are contained in this one psalm tonight, making it more than twice as long as the next longest psalm in our Bible. What is significant about Psalm 119, it is broke down according to or segmented according to the Hebrew alphabet. And if you have a Bible that has it, has a good study Bible, will have this. I guess maybe not every copy of a King James Bible does, but it ought to, because in those Psalms it is broke down 8 verses at a time, and each 8 verse section has above it the Hebrew alphabet. I'm not going to deal with that tonight, but I will deal with that, and I'm excited to deal with that here, maybe even on next Wednesday night. And so each of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and then within those segments, for instance, the first 8 verses fall under the heading of the first Hebrew letter, Aleph. Aleph, that letter Aleph, if you could see it in the Hebrew, every verse or every portion within, every segment, every line within those 8 verses, it begins with an acrostic beginning with the Hebrew letter Aleph. And you wouldn't see that in the English, but it is important, and we'll deal with that in time to come. And so it's an acrostic used according to the Hebrew alphabet. And what is most significant or important to us, especially tonight and in every night we study Psalm 119, is that this psalm, in nearly every verse, it magnifies, references, and deals with our relationship to the Word of God as God's children. David, being the author of Psalm 119, he is a lover of the Word of God. And it's no wonder, if you love the Word of God like David did, he could write about it for 176 verses. And there is no exhausting of what the Word of God means to the child of God, what it does for the child of God, how it helps the child of God, how it revives the child of God, how it quickens the child of God, how it deals with the child of God. And for 176 verses, David is just over and over and over. He finds it hard to even stop talking about what God's Word means to his life. Ain't you thankful for the Word of God tonight? And in a generation, I'm talking about even in the realms of religion, that have dumbed down and made less of the Word of God I'm glad we're a part of a church tonight. We're not right on maybe everything. We sure ain't perfect about everything. But I'm glad I'm a part of a church tonight that knows what it is to magnify the Word of God. And God's people, they say that it came out of the Reformation, but I've got news for you. God's people, going all the way back to Old Testament times, there is the, I believe it's a Latin phrase, and I barely speak English, so don't, amen, hang up with me about this, but there is a statement, they give credence to it out of the Reformation, and that is sola scriptura, that is scripture alone. And what that is, man, and listen, it goes way, way back before the Reformation. All God's children have always looked at God's Word alone as the source of divine revelation from God. And tonight you're in a church that believes absolutely dogmatically, and one preacher said bulldogmatically, amen, that we believe in sola scriptura, that is the scripture alone. We don't bring into here our opinions. We don't bring in here our personal visions and dreams and revelations. We magnify the Word of God and leave all the other rubbish outside of God's house and understand when we come into the banner of the house of God that the church is what? The pillar and the ground of the truth. The church is to be a source of magnifying to each and every generation. What God's Word in fact is, and what God's Word says, and what God's Word can do for each of us. And so tonight, as we think about this, really, really to preach 176 verses the way that we preach would be an impossibility. Y'all understand that? Well, maybe it could be possibly done in one service, but y'all understand that would be a long service. Amen. It would take 13 minutes just to read it. And you imagine how many hours would go into preaching it. And we'd probably have to take a break for supper and then take a break for breakfast. Amen. 8 hours from now. And yet this psalm needs to be dealt with. And with so many different ways we could deal with it. What I want to do tonight is considering we would call this book, the scripture, or our term, maybe most, the way we're most commonly would reference it is the Bible. Now, I said a moment ago when I got up to get ready to teach tonight, here's what I said, open your Bible, all right? Let's do a little test here. I've got three from my Sunday school class, and we just come through our study about the Bible. And so let me ask Jesse, Julie, and Mary, one of y'all, tell me what is the meaning of the name Bible or the term the Bible? Speak up. Speak up. A little louder. The book. The Bible simply means the book. It's not a book. It's not some book on a shelf or just another book in the library. When we say the Bible literally means the book. And I want to say tonight it is the book, and it's the book of every book. It's the book that stands out and above and is magnified or should be. God has, we ought to be doing it above every other book. It's greater than, amen, any book. And so the Bible is the book. It is the scripture, and there's a lot of terms you'll find throughout the Bible, about the Bible, and names that are attributed to the scripture, to us, that it gives about itself. We'll limit our study tonight to Psalm 119. I have identified, there may be 10 or 11, depending on how you break some of this down. I just want to give you particularly 8, and then I'll add a 9th one tonight. And we'll do this rather quickly this evening if the Lord will be our helper. I want to begin tonight as we consider the names for the scripture, the names of the Bible found in Psalm 119. And by the way, this is important for us to understand because just in the names and the way that the Spirit of God inspires David to write about the Bible, is going to communicate some things to you and I about its relationship to our life and how we ought to view the Bible. By the way, let me say this tonight. How you view this book will affect your opinion of this book. Amen. If you have a low view of the Bible, the book, or the scriptures, then my friend, it will affect your opinion and your relationship to the Word of God. And in doing so, it affects your relationship to God Himself. And so consider this tonight. I'll give you several things as we look through these eight or nine headings or names for the Bible found in Psalm 119. I want to begin tonight, number one, with this name that is used here. David will call the Bible Thy Word or Thy Words. Thy Word or Thy, the singular, or Thy Words, plural. We use this and began here because this is the most common name applied to the Holy Scriptures, the Bible, in this psalm. It's used as this description, Thy Word and or Thy Words, no less than 42 times in Psalm 119. And so Thy Word, if you will, look with me in verse number 9, you'll find the first mention of this phrase in verse number 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy Word. Thy Word. Look with me in verse number 57. And we're going to look at a lot of these verses tonight. But the psalmist said, Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep Thy words. Do you see that? Thy Word and Thy words. I can't think of another title or name that can be attributed to the Bible tonight as God's Holy Word. We think about that this evening. This title, Thy Word or Thy Words, references the Scriptures as the revealed communication of God's mind, God's will, and God's truth as He has spoken to holy men to pin it down and to make it known to mankind. This evening, when we think about the Bible, this is not the words of Moses. This is not merely the words of the prophets or of the psalmist David. When we think about the Bible being Thy Word or Thy Words collectively, it is more than the communication of the Apostle Paul or the Apostle John the Beloved. We're talking about that this is the Word of God. This is what is proceeded from God. This is what God has said. There is no greater authoritative statement in all the Bible than this phrase, Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. And that reminds us that the Bible is, we can look to God in regard to His Word, in regard to the Bible, and say, this is Thy Word. This is Thy Word. I think about Deuteronomy 8:3 that Jesus would quote in Matthew chapter number 4 in His temptation, first temptation of Satan in the wilderness, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Deuteronomy 8:3 and in Matthew 4. I think about how Peter talked about how that we have received the Bible this evening. Think about what he said, 2 Peter 1 and in verse number 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so this reminds us tonight that the Bible is the book because it is God's Word. It ain't Brother Jeff's Word. Somebody said, well, he's just up there preaching. You can take it or leave it. Oh, no, friend. This is God's Word tonight. This is God's words tonight as they have come directly from God. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and in verse number 6. 1 Timothy 3:16 or 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Inspiration literally meaning that it is breathed out of God. It has come from God. It is the breath of God. It is what God has communicated to men of old. And so tonight, Moses may have been used to write it down, and David may have been used to write it down, and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and other prophets may have been used to write it down. They were simply dictating under inspiration what had come from the mouth of God. I'm glad tonight when I think of the Bible, hey man, I think about it tonight. I'm telling you, I magnify it tonight because it is thy word. Thy word. David said, thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. And so tonight it is the word and the words of God. Thy word, thy words. Number two, I told you we'll be quick tonight as we can. Secondly tonight, in Psalm 119, you'll find this name attributed to the Bible or the scripture. And it is the term thy law. Thy law. In fact, the law of the Lord, that phrase is the first title given in this psalm to scripture. He said in verse number one, right out of the gate, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Now there's a lot of compromise and liberalism going on in our day that downplays the law of God. We don't want the law. The law ain't for today. But I'm telling you tonight that your Bible from cover to cover is the law of the Lord. So don't come at me with we don't need the law of God. Amen. That is a title, that is a name that is attributed to your Bible in Psalm 119. Look with me in verse number 18. The psalmist said, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Amen. Thy law. And over 25 times. I'll not look at all of them tonight. You can look it up when you get home. 25 times, thy law, thy law, thy law. And David is hung up on giving this title, this name, to the Bible. Now this name, what is important about the Word of God, what is important about the Bible being thy law? It signifies the Scripture as God's divine instruction and direction to man, guiding us into the way of righteousness and to a relationship with God. Did you catch what I said? The law, God's Bible, the book tonight, being counted the law of the Lord simply means that it is God's instruction and it is divine direction given to mankind, given to you and given to me about how we can be guided in the way of righteousness and into a relationship with God. I think about what Paul said, because there's this debate tonight going on in the realms of religion that we're under grace and grace has overrun the law and there's no room for the law. There's just grace, grace, grace. I am a grace preacher and I thank God for the grace of God that saved us. But listen, grace would not mean anything to you tonight without the Bible being the law of God. Amen. You say, what do you mean? Paul said in Galatians 3, and by the way, Galatians is in the New Testament in case you forgot. And the Apostle Paul is the apostle to the Gentiles. And the Apostle Paul is the one to whom the mystery of the church, amen, a Gentile Jewish bride for the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, was revealed. Amen. And so what did he say? Galatians 3:24. He said the law was our schoolmaster, and that schoolmaster, the law, brought us to Christ. And that's all David is saying in Psalm 119. 25 times,
thy law. In other words, it is the schoolmaster that is instructing me in divine instruction and divine direction. And it's leading and guiding my life into a relationship with God and into the way of righteousness. And the reason they sow little righteousness, I don't mean to be mean tonight. I'm not trying to preach. Amen. But I do want it to be personal to us. But the reason there's so little righteousness lived out among the church tonight is we have downplayed the Bible as being the law of God. Be honest, I could care less what you think. Amen. Your instruction or your opinion on any given matter, amen, ought to mean very, very little. Amen. What matters tonight is understanding the Bible is the law of God. That's what counts tonight. Thy word, thy words, thy law. Number three tonight, we find this name given to the Bible, and it's called Thy Testimonies. Thy Testimonies. This title or name or phrase is used 23 times in Psalm 119. In fact, verse number 2, it's used here in verse number 2 right out of the gate. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. And so we find here the testimonies. David simply said they are his testimonies. His testimonies. Look with me, if you will, in verse number 14. I believe it is. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. David said, when I think about the Bible, when I think about the scripture, when I think about the word and the words and the law of the Lord, I count them to be, Lord, they are thy testimonies, and they are more valuable to my life. They are more esteemed in my mind and in my heart than the riches of my kingdom. Amen. And so that must be that the scripture as God's testimonies are something that are very, very important in the life of David and in the life of every child of God. And so what does thy testimonies reference tonight? Well, this name bears a twofold significance about the Bible and what God has communicated to you and I. Number one, the testimonies, thy testimonies, it signifies the witness that the Bible gives. The Bible, listen, the Bible tonight is the witness of God, the witness of the Lord. It's what God testifies concerning himself and concerning his own truth. It's what God has testified concerning all things pertinent to mankind in our relationship to the Lord. And so the Bible would make this statement. Paul would say, let God be true and every man a liar. Why? Because God's word is his testimony. It is his witness. Man will lie to you. And men will tell you falsehoods. And men will stretch the truth. And men will twist the truth and wrest it for their own justification. But it is impossible that God could lie. He is not a lying witness. Amen. And so tonight, when we think about the Bible, we think about it in terms that it is the testimony of God. It is the witness. It is God's witness that he gives concerning himself and all things. Number two, this term, thy testimonies, it bears out the significance that the Bible deals with the warnings. It deals with the warnings that the Bible gives. And so a testimony is, and you'll do a word study on this, you'll find it. And literally the Bible gives warnings from God. The Bible, tonight, do you realize how many warnings are in the Bible? Do you realize how many times God says, don't do this, don't go down that path, don't get drunk, and don't even, he gives a warning, not even just about drunkenness, but about looking upon the wine as it's turning in the cup. And so he gives warnings about all sorts of things that mankind would do well to take heed of, because that is the testimony of God. God's word in the Bible, it's not just given to keep us from having a good old grand time out here in the world. The Bible is God's communication, and David said they are testimonies from God that are God's testimony about things you need to be cautious of in your life. Amen. Ain't you thankful for that tonight? Amen. This title, this is good tonight. This title, Thy Testimonies, when you study it out, it denotes something that is permanent. It has with it the idea of permanence. And this is God's permanent witness. These are God's permanent warnings. They are never altered. They cannot be altered. They do not change. They do not waver. They do not fade away. They are the testimonies of a holy God that endure the test of time. Amen. This is why the psalmist would say over and over about the Bible and the scripture that his truth endureth to all generations. Why? Because it is a permanent thing. What God has said, and whether you believe it or not, whether you or I live it or not, God is not changing his testimony for anybody. It's permanent. It's set in stone. It's settled in heaven. He's going to say in Psalm 119, Thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. And so tonight, his testimonies are his witness and his warnings, and that these things are permanent. And we'll deal with that in particular later on in our study of Psalm 119. Number four, I've got to hasten thy precepts. Thy precepts, this is used 21 times in Psalm 119. It's first mentioned as early as verse number 4. As verse number 4, look at it. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. God, you have sent a command, and that command is in regard to thy precepts, and we're not just supposed to keep it. And we're not just supposed to walk in them casually. We are to diligently dedicate our lives to the Bible being thy precepts by which we live. This title signifies the divine order of how God wants things to be. Do you understand tonight that there is a divine order for everything in our life, in everything in our society, everything in the church, everything in our homes, everything on how we live out our jobs, every aspect of your life? God's word sets the divine order for how that ought to be looking like. Amen. And we live in a world that has taken the Bible and downplayed it as being the precepts of God. Amen. That's why the home's all upside down and in turmoil today. Amen. We got women running the home and children running the home. And the Bible said the husband's ahead of the wife. You can like that and lump it and label me anything you want to, but that is God's divine order for the home. It ain't for the woman to be calling the shots. Amen. That's God's divine order for the home. It ain't the will of God that children be running the home. Amen. God's divine order is children obey your parents in the Lord and to honor your father and your mother. And yet in our day, that thing has been, and that's just an illustration tonight of how God's word, the Bible, has been degraded concerning it being the precepts of God. Amen. And so the precepts, thy precepts signifies the divine order of how God wants things to be. But further, and even more personally, it signifies that by the scripture, God oversees, God cares for, and God attends to our life. God is attending to our life by the Bible, and particularly it being the precepts. And so God communicates to us through the Bible how that our work life ought to look like, how the church ought to operate and function and be ordered. And God is overseeing these aspects of our life. Listen, he ain't ever one day asked Dr. Phil what he thinks about how things ought to be. God didn't go to Dr. Spock, amen, years ago. How many of y'all remember Dr. Spock? Amen, what an idiot that guy was. Amen, and by the way, he spewed out a lot of things and then had to come back and recant, say I was wrong about a lot of them ideas and philosophies I gave y'all. Amen, but you know who's never had to apologize? God has never had to apologize. God is going to deal with us based upon the Bible being the precepts of how he wants our life ordered. You want to know how to have a joy-filled life? You want to know how to have a happy home? We want to know how to have a church that functions in unity and worships God and a place that you can come and be fed. The Bible gives as the precepts of God the order for how all that is to go. Amen. Thy precepts, thy word, thy law, thy testimonies. Number five, thy statutes. It's used 20 times in Psalm 119. I hope this is, amen, helping us tonight. Thy statutes, 20 times, first reference in verse number 5. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Notice there's an exclamation point. In fact, that's the first exclamation point had to be used in Psalm 119. David said, when I think about the Bible, when I think about the scriptures and it being thy statutes, it does something to excite my heart. And so this title is significant as it represents the divine expectation and mandate that has been given to man and is the sovereign declaration, listen, of God's boundaries and limits in which man is called to live. When the psalmist said, this is thy statutes, what he's saying is, this book, it excites me, but it's not just given to make me feel good, and it's not just given to make me have goosebumps up and down my spine. This book has been given as a means in which God has declared where the boundaries and the limitations of things are. Amen. And we're living in a generation, are we not? Are we not? We're living in, let's make it real personal. Is there not times our flesh, amen, has a hard time, amen, accepting the boundaries and the limitations God has put on us in his word? Amen. I heard a preacher say today, I won't tell you who he is because I enjoy listening to him. He ain't even close to our strike, but there's some things I get out of him and I appreciate about him. He made this statement today about the Word of God. He said Scripture is not hard to understand. He said it's just hard to swallow. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, there's some people say, I just don't see it that way. I don't understand it. And the longer I'm in ministry and the longer I pastor and preach, I'm convinced that's not so. It's not that folk don't understand it and can't see it. It's that they don't want to swallow what God marked as a boundary. Amen. And so you can justify, amen, everything from the music you listen to the way you dress, to the places you go and the activities of your life. But I'm telling you, that book right there is the statutes of God, and he has marked the boundaries, and you can move them and you can roll them over and say they're not there. Amen. But I'm telling you tonight, David said about the Bible, the scripture being the statutes, he said, oh, that my ways were directed. I need direction to know how to take this book and apply the statutes that God has placed upon our lives as mankind and to live that out diligently. Amen. Well, I figured you'd shout right there, but maybe not. All right. Verse number six. We'll get to our sixth one tonight. When we find that the psalmist references the Bible as thy commandments 22 times in this psalm. And beginning in verse number 6, he said, "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." Commandments. And so this is a descriptive title for the Bible, and not only signifies the revealed will of God, but also our responsibility to keep and live it out in our lives. This term, commandments, it's illustrated all through the Word of God, Brother Mike, in the edicts issued by a king or a governor over the people. And so when David said, as the king, "Lord, you have your word, your scripture, it is thy commandment. I may be a king among men, but you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Lord, there are greater commands that you have given than what I could ever give." And he references God's word as the commandments of God. May I say this evening that God's book, the Bible, the Holy Scripture, as they are the commandments, as we look to God and say, "These are thy commandments," these are not options, they are commandments. We live in a day of options. People view the Bible as being an optional book. Amen. But the Bible's not optional. The Bible is commandments. We can like that, we can lump it, we can fall out the floor, but I'm telling you, it ain't going to change. Amen. Thy commandments. Notice with me thy judgments. I like this one. You'll find it used in Psalm 119, 23 times. Look with me in verse number 7. Listen to what he said. "I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments." It's amazing, when, not every time, but a lot of times in Psalm 19, or several times maybe I should say, when David references the Bible as being thy judgments, he adds the adjective righteous. These are thy judgments, and they are righteous judgments. And so we find here this first mention as early as verse number 7. It signifies God's word as the authority in all verdicts and matters and decisions about everything. These are God's decisions, God's verdicts, choices, God's verdicts and sentences that have been passed on everything. It is God's declarations about what is right and what is wrong. And we're living in a generation that they do not know right from wrong. In fact, they have made things that are right wrong, and things wrong they say are right. We're living in those prophetic days where good has become evil and evil has become good. Why? Because men have gotten away from the Bible, which is the revealed judgments of God. Amen. And so the Bible tells us what is right and what is wrong. As thy judgments, listen to this. It is by the Bible, God's judgments, that we must judge all things and one day be judged by ourselves. Amen. I got news for you. When you stand before God one day, he ain't going to ask you what you thought about the way you lived. He ain't going to ask you about, amen, your opinion about the things you believed. That's why we can't afford to be wrong, amen, and live in wrong and live in error and live in a false way when God is so clearly and concisely and in simple terms, in black and white, declared what is right and what is wrong. And so we're to judge all things according to the Bible. Amen. Not judge them according to our connections with people. Amen. I've watched people get in a mess and have the will of God, and they make judgments based on their fondness or their affinities with somebody that was dead wrong with that book. Amen. We are to judge all things by the Bible, because the Bible is the judgments of God. Amen. And that goes for our children, grandchildren, friends, best buds, church members, politicians, and everything that goes on in this world, we are to judge it by the word of God. Amen. This is why you have certain politicians that claim to be Christian that still will not only accept but promote and push abortion as being something that is righteous. Here's why. They're not judging it based on the Bible. They're making judgments based on, amen, how many votes they're going to get. By the way, that goes for the whole lot of them up there. Amen. That goes for even this crowd says, I'm a Christian and I believe the Bible, but I'm for a 15-week ban. Then you have not judged it on the authority of the Bible. Amen. Say amen right there. Amen. I understand we're in bad days and sometimes it's the lesser of two evils and I hate all that. Makes me sick. Amen. But I ain't getting along with none of them on such an important issue as that when God's word is so clear about innocent blood. Amen. Like it or not, it's right. We're to judge it by the Bible. Amen. Amen. The perversions, the transgender movement, and the sodomites, and same-sex marriage. I got news for you. God's already said what's right and wrong about it. I don't care what they say and how they try to turn everything around. We're to judge it by the Bible, not based on how popular they say something is in culture. Is that right? Amen. I believe that's right. Amen. One of these days, we're going to be judged by the Bible. Amen. We're going to be judged by the Bible. Number 8, 13 times in this psalm, David calls the Bible thy way, or he references the way. Notice with me in verse 37, he's very specific about it. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. This is a term for the word of God. This is a term for the Bible tonight. Thy way means exactly what you would think that it would. A road is trodden and really what it is doing by using this as a term and name for God's holy word. And the psalmist is picturing the Bible as the map for the course of our life. Thy way is the rule upon which we should allow the Bible to govern our path. Amen. We're not to just flip coins and roll dice and do the best we can. We are to live our life out based upon the Word of God. I believe this with all my heart. We would do well tonight. We'd be doing far better than we're doing if we would make decisions in our life based upon how God speaks to us from His Word. This here ought to be the way in which you're led. Amen. Amen. You think about, amen, a multitude of things we could think about that affect our family, our lives, our church. We ought to root ourselves in some verse of the Word of God that sets the way and sets a clear path that God is speaking our heart about walking down. Amen. Thy way. And then number 9, I'll throw this one in. He doesn't use the phrase thy truth, but 4 times in Psalm 119 you find that the word truth is used in this psalm to describe in some form or fashion the Scriptures. Look with me in verse number 30 and in verse number 43. In verse number 30, here's what the psalmist said. He said, I have chosen the way of truth. I believe that's a good description of what the Bible is, the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Again, in verse number 43, notice this phrase I want to point out to you. And take not the word of truth. And so we have the way of truth, verse number 30, and we have the word of truth in verse 43. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. And so we have this thing of truth. As truth, the Bible expresses, listen, the Bible expresses the fidelity and stability with which God executes everything he's ever said. The Bible is truth. Here's what Jesus prayed in John 17, praying for us, sanctify them. Father, sanctify them through thy word. Sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. And Pilate would ask the Lord Jesus, what is truth? And it seems like the world is crying out for that tonight, even in a day of where truth is so relative and truth is not absolute. Can I remind you in this hour, in this generation that is crying as they did in the days of Jeremiah, where is the word of the Lord? Where is truth? Can I tell you tonight that God's word is the absolute, superior, perfect word and place to find truth at for your life. Amen. It is truth tonight. The word of God is truth. His word is truth as opposed to being false and being in error and being a lie. And therefore, if it's truth, listen, and this is what the world don't like tonight. This is what our generation don't like tonight. If his word is truth and the source of truth, that means it's perfect. Amen. And that's what the world don't like tonight. And that's what religion doesn't like tonight. Because when you begin to magnify God's word as God has magnified it above all his name, and you lift it up and you tell this world that God's word is truth. The Bible is truth. The Bible has no error. The Bible has no falsehood. Then all of a sudden they began and we began to have to measure ourselves to what truth is. And again, we would quote what Paul said, let God be true and every man a liar. Here's what, it may have been Micah Henson. I know he sung the song, but I'm not sure if he wrote it or not. Maybe he wrote it, maybe he didn't. But I remember Micah Henson singing the song about this blessed old book that I hold in my hand. It's true from beginning to end. Here's how that chorus ends. If you find when you read it that there's something wrong with you. It's not an error. It's not something wrong in God's word. It's always truth. It's always right. It's always perfect. And so when I read it and there's something not connecting in my life to what it says, then I'm the one in error. God's word is true. God is true. God is right. I'm the liar. I'm the one living a lie. I'm the one living something that's false. And I must change my ways to line up with what God's word says. Watch it now so that I can be right with God. Amen. Amen. All right. That is the names. I know that's a lot, and there's maybe two more we could debate about if they're names or if they're just adjectives and descriptions, and I want to get into some of those. It's amazing how David not only names, Brother Bryson names the Bible, but how he begins to describe it. It's righteous. Amen. It's pure. We talk about it being pure. Again, it's true. A lot of things. He gives a lot of emblems of the Word of God. Amen. He said it's a light and it's a lamp. He talked about it being something that is sweet. And we go on and on tonight, all through song. He just magnifying the Word of God. God, you've magnified your Word above all your name. And now David, by the Holy Ghost, is magnifying the Word of God. Amen. And we're still doing it all these years later as he magnified it in Psalm 119. And may God help us to fall in love with the Bible. What's the Bible mean? The book. Amen. Don't you ever forget that. Amen.